Welcome back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now for Buy or Sell.
We're doing Buy or Sell. All right, we're doing Buy or Sell. What is this, the Pulp Fiction version?
The Pulp Fiction edition.
All right, because on this date 25 years ago, it won at the Cannes Film Festival, so we're doing that for Throwback Thursday. Remember, a little fun. Tarantino classic. All Pulp Fiction. So the Buy or Sell
and in
centers
fact,
around the movie.
If you want to do yourself a favor and you listen to our show on podcast, you got to figure out the chronological order of which we're talking. Segments.
Yeah, right.
Because, we have been, there is an order to our segments. We just didn't do that today.
All right, very good. Yeah. All right, let's start with the first one.
All right, the first one, Pulp Fiction, Shawshank Redemption, Forrest Gump, The Lion King, and Jurassic Park were all in theaters at the same time. This might be the single greatest collection of movies in theaters at the same time.
I'm going to buy that without knowing the history of release dates. I would buy that because don't normally movie companies know what the other ones are doing and want to put movies up against others and whatnot.
But if you look at it, I mean, all of them are different movie companies. I mean, they weren't all released at the same exact date. I'm like,
but they were all in the theaters at the same time.
They were all at the theaters at the same time. So, I mean, you know, Pulp Fiction might have been released, and then 2 weeks later, Shawshank Redemption might have been released. But at one point, all five of these movies, which are classics, were all in the movie theater. So if you went to the movies, hadn't seen any of these, this was a choice that you had to make.
I would buy that. I can't remember a movie time where there's so many other good options. But however, like Shawshank Redemption, was that a blockbuster that was coming out at the time?
No.
Because I know Pulp Fiction wasn't really everybody can't wait for Countdown to Pulp Fiction.
No, the big thing about Pulp Fiction was that it grossed nearly $200 million. Right, it only cost them $8 million to make, and they grossed $200 million.
They cost them $8 million to make that movie?
Yeah.
Well, those guys do it for nothing? That's amazing. Good for Tarantino.
Art
that's
house.
Fantastic.
It was art house theater.
Bruce Willis would charge $8 million if he just to shoot a small scene in which he was like a burger executive.
But again, you have to remember, none of these guys were, you know, that known.
Bruce Willis
wasn't really doing much.
Well, I don't know if he was doing anything, but the Die Hard movies were fantastic. That was in the late 80s going into
again,
the 90s.
I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, John Travolta. I mean, he had a huge career.
Oh, yeah, but John Travolta was not Bruce Willis.
No, but I mean, even Bruce Willis's career had had stalled out a little bit.
Well, he did do that.
He made a couple
of clunkers.
He did
that one bad movie. That was one really, really bad movie.
Hudson
Hawk, yeah. I remember that was pretty awful. So,
I think before he had done Last Boy Scout, which didn't really get great reviews either.
True. But still, to have gotten less than $1 million for that role, that's pretty.
Well, how much screen time?
Yeah, a lot of screen time.
Not as much as, say, you know, John Travolta and Samuel Jackson. I mean, he's not considered a main character.
There was a whole storyline about him.
There was an entire storyline about him in the movie about getting away from
Ving Rhames.
Yeah, but he's not in it as much. I don't know. Maybe he got paid.
All right,
by
you
word.
You're nitpicking on. Now we're talking minutes. Bruce Willis
got,
did not.
He
Bruce
got paid
Willis
by
did
the
not.
Word.
Hold on. Bruce Willis did not have a cameo in this movie.
Oh, I'm not saying cameo.
Okay, he had a cameo.
Steve Buscemi had a cameo.
He had a cameo in Fast Food Nation, the movie with Greg Kinnear, where he was in one scene.
Well, maybe that's why he had to do this for cheap.
He had an entire segment of the movie to himself and his character. All right, go ahead.
Buy or sell number two, Quentin Tarantino was robbed of the Best Director Oscar.
Who won it?
Robert Zemeckis for Forrest Gump.
I'll buy that. He probably should have gotten it. That was a really well-directed movie.
Well, the only reason why I say...
But Forrest Gump was pretty good, too.
Forrest Gump was good, but the only reason why I would say Quentin Tarantino got robbed because it's innovative. We had never seen anything like this movie.
That's very true.
And I thought, you know, I mean, maybe that scared off some of the older guys, like, oh, what is this? You know, I can't figure out what, you know, the beginning, middle, and end of the movie.
That is very true. I always caution people, though, innovative does not mean better.
Right.
Like, to say somebody did something different doesn't mean they did something better. Forrest Gump could not do that, so it's unfair to say Tarantino should have gotten it because he shot his film this way with taking it out of order and putting it in this way. But Forrest Gump couldn't do that, so you can't
kind of wish somebody would give Forrest Gump the Pulp Fiction treatment. That would be kind of neat. Watch.
That's actually a very good idea. very good idea. Maybe that you should work on.
Throw on. I'll take too long. Put yourself away from the show.
Get your little editing bay and just work on. That is a brilliant idea, though.
I'll do it during the show.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea.
Virus number three. The film contained 265 F-bombs, and you would have thought that number was way higher.
Yes. Yes, if you had told me, I would have said 500 easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like every other word was an
F-bomb. Me too.
And it pretty much is. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, 265, that's a lot.
The fact that my son, my 17-year-old son, is going crazy for this movie, my wife is just like, she's so,
she hates it. Awesome.
She hates it, but I tell her.
And she's going to hate you for it.
I gave him permission to watch it. I said, go ahead, watch it. You'll love it. I was like, you're 17. You can watch it. Go ahead.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for my kid to get a little bit older. It's like, I have a whole list of movies I can't wait for him to watch.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see. Michael Madsen was Quentin Tarantino's first choice for Vincent Vega. He would have been good, but John Travolta was tailor-made for this role.
That is a hard buy or sell. That's a very good one. It's a very good question. It's a hard buy or sell because Vincent Vega really, John Travolta did a great job with that role. He did a great job with that part. I think there's a vulnerability to Travolta that makes Vega a better character than Madsen would have portrayed him. Because Madsen, I think, has an edge to him. He's always had an edge in the other Tarantino movies that I don't think he would have brought to Vega. That I think Travolta, there's a soft side to Vega that was needed with Uma Thurman's character.
Yeah,
that he had to have. Like, he had to have a little bit of patience with her. You know, he had to have a reserve with her. And I think Travolta played very well. That I don't think Madsen would have played off very well.
Yeah, he might have just been like, you know, suck it up type of character.
Yeah.
Well, having said that, now I'm going to disappoint you.
Okay.
Travolta's Vincent Vega is actually the brother of Madsen's Reservoir Dogs character, Vic Vega.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's great. I didn't know that. Yeah. Why didn't I know that? I should know that.
So, and you know, it's Mr. Blonde for all of you guys who don't know the character names.
I never put that together.
Yeah. Quentin Tarantino had planned a spinoff movie featuring the Vega brothers. It was going to kind of be a prequel to the two movies, but he scrapped it because he felt the two actors would be too old to play younger versions of themselves.
Got it. Okay. So you didn't want to go find a younger actors. That would have been awful.
Right.
You want to bring these guys back and All right. All right. That's awesome.
It's a little disappointing that I just told you that though, because that would have been, I think that would have been a great movie.
I do too. That is cool. I did not know that. And that's neat to know.
And well, that's why he wanted Madsen to play it, because it was just going to be the same character.
Right. Right.
But I agree with you. I think Travolta, you need to have that softer side. And then, you know, once you find out that Travolta killed it and Madsen killed his character, it's like a spinoff movie featuring these two would be fantastic. Right. How they became who they are. So, okay, another actress almost played Mia. Michelle Pfeiffer was Tarantino's choice. Looking at it now, she would have been a terrible choice.
Yeah, she would have been a terrible choice.
It kind of feels like that was Uma Thurman's role to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Michelle Pfeiffer could carry it, but
she can't, but I just don't. It's the whole,
she would have been older.
That, but it's the whole, I have a hard time believing Michelle Pfeiffer in the whole drug out scene.
Yeah, me too. I completely agree.
You know, I mean, that whole thing, you know, in the bathroom to being in Eric Stoltz's house.
we basically said Uma Thurman on drugs is more believable than Michelle Pfeiffer on drugs.
Well, we're not wrong.
Right. Yeah, probably.
You believed forever that administering an adrenaline shot had to be done in a stabbing motion directly to the heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I came away from that movie believing I knew something now that I didn't know before.
But actually, you know, you can administer an adrenaline shot anywhere in the body.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to do it in a stabbing motion. And just here's a fun film fact. That scene, you've probably heard, that scene is filmed in reverse.
Oh, okay.
The needle was already in her. And then it's just a scene of John Travolta's character pulling it out.
Oh, I gotcha. Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, film magic. He didn't actually stab her.
Wow.
All right, how about this one? Right now, you could probably recite Ezekiel 25:17 from memory.
Yes and no. I tried this. I tried this, and I failed. My son and I were talking about that scene, and I tried to do it. My son went, "Oh no, you're wrong. It's this." I was like, "Oh, it's been a while since I've seen it." But yes, righteous man.
but when the movie came out, you could definitely do it.
Yes. By the way, has anyone gone to the Bible to find out if exactly is it, that is exactly the quote from Ezekiel?
It is not the exact quote. I mean, there are certain parts in there.
Because they didn't teach me that in Sunday school.
No. The exact quote is, oh God, I'm trying to remember. There is a chunk of it that is part of the quote.
Gotcha. Okay.
But there's a whole, like what Samuel Jackson's character says, that whole verse is not in the Bible.
I got you.
It's just one little section is in that.
Okay.
I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger. That is actually in the Bible.
Okay.
I think it's just that little snippet. And then finally, many rumors have been circulating forever to what was in the briefcase, from gold to pure evil. But you believe that it was the soul of a man.
I believe it was a soul. I'm buying that, and I believe it was his soul, and I'm going to take that with me forever. I don't care what Tarantino says. That's my truth.
Yeah. He's always said it's just, you know, it's a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
And that's what he's always said.
Just exactly.
A MacGuffin. I believe it was. I always thought it was. And when I first saw it, I didn't know why I thought it was gold. But watching it a couple more times, I do believe it was the soul of Marcellus Wiley.
Yeah, exactly. The way John Travolta looks at it, like, oh boy, what is this?
Yeah.
When he opens it up, real quick, Frank Whaley is the guy who plays Brett.
Yes.
All right. He is also the assassin of Jimmy Hoffa in Hoffa with Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
And I every time I see him in both movies, I think of both movies. When I see Hoffa and I see him, Mr. Hoffa, and he takes the gun out and shoots Jack Nicholson. And then when I see him go, you know, sitting there going, what? And getting shot, I always coordinate the two movies. So
you gotta get them confused with each other.
By the way, when Samuel Jackson, when Jules shoots his friend on the couch, you know you're dead, right?
Yeah, you have to.
Like, he just shot his friend for nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your
concentration? Yeah. You're dead. You know that you're finished. Because if he just shot him for no reason, you're not going anywhere.
You know, I was reading that whole scene is pretty much done in one take.
Good. That was great. That makes it even better.
There's a moment where Samuel Jackson flips over a table, and that wasn't in the script. And Frank Whaley's reaction is his actual reaction.
Wow. That's even better.
And, I mean, it just kind of freaked him out that Samuel Jackson did that. And they're just like, oh, we're keeping that.
Yeah. I will say this. Since my son saw this movie now, every time we have burgers, he goes, that is a tasty burger.
Oh, God.
And I go, stop.
You created a monster.
I did. And I go, stop. That's like the 18th time you've said that since you've seen the movie.
Yeah, the first time it's cute.
Time it's cute. But every time you bite into a burger and you say, that is a tasty burger, it's getting on my nerves. So cut it out. All right. That's Buy or Sell. It's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.